On this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio, we'll be touching on themes of thankfulness. I talked to Empower Texans Vice President of Communications, Morgan Williamson, to get all the details about this year's Conservative Leader Award Gala, where we honor and thank those who lead in their communities. We'll also chat with Pastor Greg Young, who shares his miraculous story of being thankful in the face of the toughest adversity. And we close with a commentary from Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan on the true story of the first Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome back to this week's Thanksgiving episode of Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 studios in Austin, Texas. As always, you can find us on the internet at www.texasscorecard.com. Well, being Thanksgiving, we'll be talking a lot about things that we're thankful for. And of course, later in the program, have an interview on how to be thankful in the face of adversity, something you definitely don't want to miss. But something I'm thankful for, my producers, Buddy Kipp, who does a great work on this show week in and week out running the program. And then, of course, Morgan Williamson, who's the Vice President of Communications with Empower Texans. Morgan, thanks for coming on this side of the microphone.
Yeah, thanks. It's always fun to be on this side of the show, Tony.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about something that we do with Empower Texans. Folks have been hearing a little ad for it on the show, but it's about thankfulness. It's the Conservative Leaders Award, the Conservative Leader Award Gala that we put on every year, honoring the citizen leaders, these activists around the state who do things, extraordinary things, maybe not, you know, maybe they can be simple things, but they are extraordinary things of being leaders in their community. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Yes. So every year we do the Conservative Leaders Gala. It's in Irving, Texas, December 7th this year. You can RSVP on our website.
So empowertexans.com/events. We've been saying that on the empowertexans.com/events. So again, December 7th.
Yes, in Irving, Texas.
Okay.
Yes.
And so this is an awards banquet. Lots of people have been, you know, they go to political galas. This is a little different.
Yes, we're not putting elected officials up on stage for them to talk about how great they are in front of everyone while they eat rubber chicken. We actually do things a little differently. And we honor citizen leaders from around the state. Conservative Leader Award for just excellent activism. And it's actually the award that we give is not a plaque or a trophy. It's an engraved cavalry sword.
Which is pretty cool. Because these are the people who are in the fight, if you will. And obviously, ours is an ideological battle. It's a battle of involvement in leadership. It's not, you know, obviously, thankfully, it's not a bloody battle. But we have these cavalry swords because people face this fight with the vigor of folks who, you know, are marching off to war.
Yes. Yeah. We have everything from people who are bloggers who just go to their, you know, local events that are happening in city government or even state government and write about it, report about it. We have people who have block walked thousands of doors and pushed candidates over the edge into winning their elections. And we have people who are defeating bonds and defeating the red light camera regimes in their counties and cities and everything in between.
Yeah, we have folks every year, approximately a dozen folks every year, who nominated by either, sometimes by their local elected officials. We don't honor elected officials, but the elected officials can make nominations so they can say, hey, this is somebody from my community who's doing great work. But also the group leaders and just other folks that we're aware of, they make these nominations. We sift through a big pile of these things and then say, okay, who are the 12 folks who've really stood out over this last year? Another award we do, also the Torch of Freedom Award. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, the Torch of Freedom Award was created to honor one man or one woman who we believed best set the example in the previous year of really taking that light of liberty and shining it in the darkest places.
And interesting enough, last year we had Joanne Fleming, one of the great grassroots conservative leaders in this state out of East Texas. She had previously won the Conservative Leaders Award.
Yes, yes. One of the first years we did this, Joanne got a sword. And last year, not that she needed it from us, we promoted her and gave her the Torch of Freedom.
Yeah, so this is a way of showing leaders who are out there, hey, we appreciate you. We're thankful for the things you're doing. You know, I do this radio show week in and week out. Well, I could be talking to a brick wall, but, you know, it really takes people who take the information that folks like us put out there and then put it into action in their communities. This is a way to honor those people who are really doing the important things to lead in this state.
Yes.
So for people who want to be thankful, want to show their thankfulness, want to honor these award recipients, let's remind people, where is it? When is it? How do they register?
Yes. So it is December 7th, which is right around the corner, and it is in Irving, Texas. You can register by going to empowertexans.com/events. That is empowertexans.com/events.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Morgan. Thank you for everything you do to put on that event so that we can honor all of the leaders out there who deserve the credit for the work they do. For listeners out there, go on and register at empowertexans.com/events. This is time's running out to register, so go register today for that. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you on December 7th in Irving. Now, up next, a great interview with Pastor Greg Young to talk about how we can be thankful in the face of the greatest adversity. You won't want to miss it. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome on the program this week Pastor Greg Young, the host of Chosen Generation Radio. Pastor Greg, thanks for joining us.
Tony, it's so great to be with you and your audience. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Pastor Greg, I was thinking, we've been doing this program for Thanksgiving, and we're thinking about what we're thankful for, and, you know, when we've got family around, and we're, you know, eating turkey and just having a good time, the football game's on, it can be really easy to be thankful. But you're one of the people who inspires me with your example of how to be thankful in the face of adversity, and also how, you know, being a leader is, and being, setting an example for people around you and showing how to live life. You faced, have faced over the last couple of years some tremendous adversity and faced it in a cheerful way. Tell folks who are listening, who, you know, a lot of them don't know who you are, tell them what happened to you in 2017, and let's talk about how you reacted to that in a way that I think is a great, it's been a great example and an inspiring example for me, but I think can be an inspiring example for others.
Well, thank you, Tony. You know, all glory goes to God. I was in a horrific car accident in 2017. In July, my 15-year-old daughter and I were on our way to the studio where I would broadcast the radio show at that time, when a man pulled across the highway in front of us in a ranch-style truck, extended bed, extended cab, and stopped right in front of us about 50 to 75 feet. And he just stopped his truck there. And so my daughter, my 15-year-old, was driving.
I mean, she's just learning to drive. I mean, this 15-year-old, she's first forays into driving a vehicle.
She'd been driving for maybe 3 months at that point. And she had seen him coming down the driveway, but of course was certain that he would, you know, that he would stop. And when he didn't, two things flashed through her mind, Tony. My dad, her grandfather, had been killed in a T-bone accident in Colorado 1 month before this.
Wow.
And so she didn't want to T-bone him. She did not want to, she knew, you know, at the 55 miles an hour, that if we hit him on his driver's side door, that he probably wouldn't survive that. And so she turned the vehicle slightly to the right, hitting the right rear passenger door of the truck, knocking the bed, or knocking the cab off of the frame by about 2.5 feet. And in doing so, that caused the airbags to not release inside of the vehicle.
Wow.
Because we didn't make that, you know, direct frontal hit. They released after the accident, but not at impact. And so the entire left front, driver's side front, was collapsing in on her. I happened to have my hand on the seatbelt release when we were, as we were driving, and I just heard the Lord say, Jackie and seatbelt. I released the seatbelt, and I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to try to get between the steering wheel and everything else that was coming in on top of her. And in so doing, I encountered tools that were coming through the windshield.
This was a work truck that was pulled in front, so all of the equipment and things, you know, including obviously the engine in the front of your vehicle coming in through to the cab, but all the things that are part of this truck, this work truck, coming through the windshield into your vehicle.
Yes, this ranch-style truck, and he had a bunch of tools in the back, you know, metal tools, wrenches, what have you, and they made about a 3-foot hole in the windshield, Tony. And so I was knocking those down as I was going across. I hit my left orbital on the steering wheel with such impact that I flattened the steering wheel. I broke my left orbital. I degloved my face. I broke the base of my skull on both sides. I broke my neck at C3 front and back. I broke my back in 3 places. I broke my right rib cage. I fractured my left pelvis and hip. I broke my left femur. I broke the fibula and the tibia on my left leg. I crushed the top of the tibia and fractured the bottom of my right knee and severed the main artery and all the nerves below my right knee. I was unconscious when and really not, I was not alive. I was lying on my daughter. She said she was checking me and was getting no response. And then she said I convulsed very violently about 3 times and then sat up and looked at her with my face peeled back behind my ears.
Oh my gosh.
And then I turned and looked straight ahead, but she said, "Dad, you weren't there." She was covered in my blood. They thought because of the impact that she was the one that was most severely injured. So they immediately tended to her, and she kept yelling at them, "This is not my blood. It's my dad's blood." They finally got me out. I don't remember any of that. I do remember lying on the ground and being on the board and then coming to and seeing some medics running around. I was immobilized, and then I started saying, "Where's my daughter? How's my daughter?" And at first, Tony, I couldn't remember the name. I mean, I could not remember her name. And then I felt it come from the back of my head forward, and I was like, "Jackie, where's Jackie?" And of course, they wouldn't tell me anything. And then they put me onto a chopper, and they flew me to University Hospital. When I arrived, at one point, they had 18 surgeons working on me at one time. I went through 17 surgeries over 5 days. I died 3 more times during those surgeries.
Wow.
I spent 6 weeks in ICU on life support and a total of 3 months in the hospital.
I mean, basically, you broke everything.
Yes.
Tell me about your daughter. She, you know, you basically put yourself, it was a miracle, you put yourself in harm's way in between her and everything that was coming into the front of this vehicle, yeah. and you did the job.
I know, it did, and you know, we talk about how God, you know, prepares things in advance. There's so many small things and things that took place, even things that happened 14 years before this, when I was given 3 to 6 months to live, where I started taking professional grade supplements under the care of a homeopathic doctor that I continue now to take today. But those supplements and some other supplements I got from Michael's Health down in San Antonio that I was taking at the time of this accident prepared my body physically to immediately begin to heal itself, which is miraculous.
And her, my understanding, I know she went to the hospital, but she recovered quite quickly.
She was out of the hospital within, I think, 48 hours. They had her on a 48-hour observation. She had some deep skeletal and deep muscular trauma, obviously, with that kind of an impact. You suddenly stop at 55 miles an hour and hit something, you're going to have some of that. But I was able to put my body between her and everything else and pin her into the seat, which allowed her to have kind of a safety barrier that really they said at the time, they said in the hospital, they said, you know, it saved your life. Because that steering wheel and everything else coming in would likely have crushed her.
And so you as a father sacrificing your own body to protect your daughter, but obviously, as I said, and as you said, basically everything was broken. You began a very, very long road to recovery. And, of course, you're a radio guy. And so I was, you know, we've known each other for years and since before this. I mean, you've been a grassroots leader there in Kerrville and in the Hill Country for years. And somebody who, you know, honestly, I would like to see seen run for office, do these kinds of things. But here you had an opportunity to be a leader in a different way. And you started making videos. Showing your recovery, and obviously your condition was a little gruesome at the time, but it was inspiring because constantly you were expressing thankfulness for the opportunity there and the care that you were receiving and the support you were receiving and the opportunity you had to protect your daughter. I mean, it was totally inspiring.
It was amazing. As I said, you know, God really prepared me, you know, coming into this. I had actually had a slight case of whiplash from an event that I was involved in about 9 months before this. And as a direct result of that, I had begun to gain some weight. And but they said that that weight that I gained, that extra, it was about 80 pounds. But they said that extra 80 pounds allowed my body to withstand this trauma. And folks, you know, in spite of everything that I broke, and as Tony said, I broke everything but my elbows, my shoulders, and my right hip. And yet, in the midst of breaking all of that, I did no damage to the interior organs, no damage to the liver, no damage to the kidneys, no damage to the lungs, no damage to the heart, no damage to the intestinal tract. None of my internal organs, Tony, were damaged in that accident, which is an absolute miracle.
Absolutely a miracle. What advice can you give to people? I mean, obviously not everybody is in a situation as dire as, I think at one point you said you were given 2% chance to survive. Not everybody faces that type of physical adversity, but everyone faces adversity in their own way. What did you learn? What advice can you give that you picked up in this process?
Well, to what you were saying, they gave me a 2% chance of survival. They said in the first 48 hours, they anticipated that I would die. They told my family throughout the entire first month of July that I was there every single day. They said, well, you know, prepare because this probably will be his last day. So here's what I would share with you. Two things the Lord really impressed with me. And again, in preparation, going back almost 14 years, You know, so many times when people are going through a difficult challenge or a difficult thing, we point to the cross. We say, well, you know, look, buck up, because look what Jesus went through. And if Jesus could handle that, you can handle this. And so, you know, suck it up and make it through. Well, that doesn't really always work out so good. And it certainly doesn't help us, you know, to be able to resolve and get through. And what the Lord ministered to me is about his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, Tony. That time in the Garden of Gethsemane where he's sweating blood, where he's calling out to the Father, if this cup can pass, thy will, not my will. And what the Lord ministered to me is that he says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Folks, there are times when you're going to go through things and it's going to feel a whole lot more like you're in the Garden of Gethsemane in those dark times. But what I want you to know is that Jesus is there with you. He is resting with you. He is holding you. And he is saying to you, I am going to be with you for as long as it takes for you to be prepared to walk out of this garden and take on the assignment in front of you. And we're going to do this together. And, you know, I learned that you have to, you know, when I was in the early days of this, there were times when, you know, just breathing for that day was going to be a challenge. And so I had to learn that, you know, you can't set goals. I couldn't say, well, I'm going to be home by Thanksgiving, or I'm going to be home by Christmas, or getting home wasn't even on the horizon at that point. What was on the horizon was getting from sun up to sundown and still being here.
Taking it one step at a time. Taking it one step at a time and knowing that there's somebody much more powerful there with you each step of the way. Well, your testimony is very inspiring to me. You know, it's we're told to be thankful in all things, and I think your situation, lots of people would have something like this happen to them, and they'd be, you know, it'd be a total woe is me, how bad are things in life? And you've been inspiring and showing, no, you know, there's much to be thankful for, even in the most dire circumstances. For those who want to connect with you and learn more about your show, connect with your show, listen to your show, a very good program talking on public affairs, a conservative show, good, really, I think I've been a guest on it one or two times. Tell folks how they can connect with you and listen to the show and learn more about your work.
ChosenGenerationRadio.com is the website. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Again, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. A lot of information there. I'm live on air 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. We just got picked up by the USA Radio Network. And for those who are here in Texas, in the Dallas area, we're on KBDT 1160 a.m. Monday through Friday in Dallas. Would love to have you listen to the program.
Very good. Great show. Appreciate everything you do as a leader in this state, but certainly appreciate your testimony. Thanks for joining us, Pastor Greg Young.
Thank you, Tony, for having me. God bless you, and a happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At texasscorecard.com or empowertexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
Well, the real story of Thanksgiving is quite a bit different than what you may have learned in your high school history textbook. Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan tells that story in this week's Texas Scorecard Radio commentary.
We think we know the story of Thanksgiving, that the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, faced a harsh winter, famine, and disease, and then only with the help of friendly natives learned how to survive. It's nice for bedtime stories and feel-good paintings, but it ignores the most important lessons of our early history. I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan with this Texas Scorecard radio commentary. The Pilgrims weren't city slickers ill-prepared for wilderness life, nor were they misguided about the challenges facing them in the New World. Sadly, the travails and trials of the Pilgrims weren't the result of recklessness, ignorance, or chance. No, the problems the Pilgrims faced and overcame were of their very own making through a well-intentioned, though misguided, governing ideology. William Bradford served as the governor of the Plymouth Colony. He recorded the early history of the colony himself in a work he titled The History of the Plymouth Settlement. Bradford wrote that even before arriving in the New World, he and his people imposed on themselves what he called communal service, what we today would recognize as socialism. Everything, the land, the work, the crops, everything was held communally. Everyone was expected to work hard and receive only what they truly needed. As a result, Bradford wrote, many would simply, and I'm quoting him here, allege weakness and inability, end quote. In his book, Bradford reported that while communal living sounded good in theory, its shortcomings were soon uncovered in practice. Listen to how Governor Bradford himself described it.
The young men who were most able and fit for service objected to being forced to spend their time and strength in working for other men's wives and children without any recompense.
They learned then what too many people don't understand even today. Socialism fails to acknowledge human nature and the power of incentives. As Bradford wrote,
"The strong man or the resourceful man had no more share of food, clothes, etc., than the weak man who was not able to do a quarter the other could."
All of this communal service led to the community being fractured, not brought together. Bradford put it this way.
Community of property was found to breed much confusion and discontent.
No one had an incentive to work, so no one produced, and everyone was miserable. Remember, this was a small group of people who shared common values, cared for each other, and had willingly joined philosophically to the colony's arrangements. It's just that socialism fails in practice whenever it's tried. Sometimes it limps along, but ultimately the results are always the same. Socialism always produces misery. After 3 years, the colony abandoned its communal life lest they die off completely. Bradford wrote that colony leaders divided the land among the families. What this meant, he said, is that the new system
allowed each man to plant corn for his own household and to trust themselves for that.
The results were stunning, and the community turned around quickly. But here's how Bradford summarized the change.
It made all hands very industrious, so that much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been by any means the governor or any other could devise, and saved him a great deal of trouble, and gave far better satisfaction.
Private property rights and a free market carried the day. Labor was naturally divided, not politically imposed, with everyone doing what they could do best to their own benefit, and thereby increasing the productivity and happiness of the colony as a whole. In the newly free society, where the local knowledge of Native Americans was combined with the techniques of Europe, the Pilgrims had a harvest bountiful beyond comparison. The very first days of the American experience demonstrated what world history has shown repeatedly. Socialism fails, and fails miserably. Liberty, not government planning, produces bounty. We must daily remember that individual liberty is, in the 21st century, as it was in the 17th, a necessary and integral component to our general prosperity. And let us be thankful to God not only for the material things we have, but for the liberty of which He is the author. With a Texas Scorecard radio commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan, wishing you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving on behalf of the entire Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard team.
Well, that's all I have for this week's show. As each of you enjoy your Thanksgiving with friends and family, just know that I am thankful for each of you, for our listeners and for our supporters out there. It's a pleasure to do this show week in, week out, to provide you the information you need to be involved in your communities, and then to see folks like you lead in your communities, lead this state in the direction that it needs to go. Thank you for your service. Thank you for listening. And look forward to having you back next week.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.